Hi, this audio product is called When Things Go Wrong and When Things Go Right. And first of all, hi everybody, I hope everyone is doing well. You know, today, you'll find this experience is really two situations in one. In a recent poll I conducted with almost 300 golf professionals, top amateurs and club golfers, I asked them to identify the number one headache that faced them every time they went out to play, and this was their answer. What do I do when things go wrong? And oddly enough, what do I do when things are starting to go right? Yeah, it seems that this is as problematic as anything. I suppose there's a third in there, isn't there? What do I do when nothing seems to be happening? Well, I have to wait for the next installment for that one. We haven't got enough time for that. there have been times, I'm sure, maybe even when you've been playing well, when you just cannot steady your ship, when breaks are not going your way and you see no end to this constant bogey run. The bogey train you are riding keeps on chugging away. You can't do anything about it, right? What the hell is going on during these moments? Because it seems like you are totally lost. And all of a sudden, you've got three left feet and the touch of a sledgehammer. In the case of things going wrong, if they do, I want you to know that the initial spark or the event that creates this I can do nothing right inner mantra can actually be very small and at that point, pretty insignificant. But the issue increases when momentum is given to that event. No matter how small, it's going to bug you somewhere. And it's just like the classic cartoon image of the small snowball turning into a huge snowball as it gains momentum down the hill. Your thoughts will work in exactly the same way. They too will get bigger and bigger until you interrupt that momentum and drive a wedge through your poor thinking. You see, when you give attention and importance to this event, it will immediately strengthen and double in size. If you make this situation an obsession, my friend, I'm telling you, your career is over, professional or amateur. I'm going to make an important point to you now. Golf is first physically developed, and second, it is mentally conditioned. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, if you keep trying to play a shot that you really, really want to pull off, even today, but you keep messing it up like you wouldn't even succeed at it 4 times out of 10 on the practice area, then you're not going to receive any sympathy from me for the insanity that's going to follow. You're crazy. Old Al Einstein, wasn't he the guy that told us that insanity is to repeat the same thing over and over again expecting a different result? You see how this works now? You can eventually end up walking around and around in the circles within the prison cell of your mind, waiting forever for that cell door to open. Do it long enough and you can't even see the door. Only now can you see it's a cycle through hitting a multitude of crummy shots that you are physically incapable of playing in the first place. You will now mentally chastise yourself and hardwire in the fact that you're a useless idiot. Not true. Physically, get this shot down to a success rate of at least 7 times out of 10 on the practice area and then mentally condition yourself to hit them on the course. Play this section back time and time again because you really, really need to understand this, okay? Now that you fully understand this destructive pattern of the physical influencing the mental, you should accept that at some stage today, you will hit a poor shot, which I know you're going to think sounds a little bit negative coming from me, but we should in the least prepare for a little bit of imperfection, yes? So this could be a putt, it could be a drive, it could be a chip, it could be anything, it doesn't matter. It may not even cost you a shot, but it will bug you. And here's the crazy aspect. You may not even have to play this shot again during the round, but its result, according to your perception, will virally distort your reality. So what actually happens when things start to disintegrate and fall apart like this? I want to use a clear metaphor for this situation. I want you to view your focus, where your mind is at, as a torchlight or a flashlight for my American friends. Now remember, a torch can point in any direction at any time, just like your focus. In fact, I'm going to call it your focus light. And a focus light can have a wide beam, taking in everything, or it can have a narrow beam, which just sees something and blocks out everything else. For example, You can take in the panoramic view of a horizon, seeing everything from the base of the mountain to the clouds at the top, or you can zoom in to the black dot on the white page. You get it? I hope so. It's pretty simple. Anyway, back to the survey I conducted. These were some of the responses I received back in relation to the feelings and thoughts of golfers when they were leaking oil. The highest was a lack of feel, no harmony with the club or the putter. Then came the fact that they couldn't picture a darn thing. They couldn't even remember what their mother looked like. All of the shots were struck badly and they felt tight. Also, they didn't talk much during the round. In fact, they didn't want to talk at all to anybody. After a few holes of their personal tragedy, it's like they became this walking zombie, according to your friends, and you were just simply bloody miserable. So where is your focus light at this moment? Where is it pointing? What's the focus of your mind up to when you're walking around like the Grim Reaper? So this is it. Your focus light at this time is a narrow beam. It's the diameter of a pencil, and the focus light is pointing internally at you during this time. Your brain becomes this dark room or a cave, and the focus light is zipping and darting around, looking everywhere. It never really focuses on one thing, and in a parallel world, your focus light and your mind are extremely busy and chatty. You've been there, I know it. Since it never points outside the walls of your brain, you are internally trapped. The torch never shines through your eyes or your ears, just at the inside walls of your brain. So everything is intensely introspective. You're trapped and all alone, being consumed by your busy thoughts. You get the idea now. You have a monkey behind the wheel of your brain or the focus light, and you have to get him off quick. Sound familiar? I want to tell you that it takes a lot of effort, by the way, to overthink like this. The classic sign is that you walk off of the 18th green absolutely shattered. Okay, so what's the action plan here, Bradley? What are the SOS steps that you can take to kill that bad momentum and kill the crazy monkey with the focus light? Here are your five mind shifters to jump the bogey train today. Are you ready? Mind shift number one. The moment you sense getting stewed up and ineffective, break into a new pattern by inhaling deeply and exhaling slowly three times. Use this as a signal to say that I'm going to change the direction and the intensity of the focus light. Where your mind is looking, send a clear message to the brain via beta wave. We are out of here. We're going to change. Mind shift number two, folks. Switch on your senses. In times of inner chatter and focus, your eyes never really take in any panoramic detail. The world seems to visually stop about 3 foot ahead of you. And as you squint and virtually close your eyes, you drive deeper and deeper into thought. Mind shift number two for you today means that your eyes now need to switch on and take in a much wider and broader picture. Look at the trees 200 yards down the fairway. Look at the clouds. Look down the fairway at the traps next to the green. Even look behind you at the tee box you've just hit from. Vision on and vision out. Direct your focus light to new locations. Mind shift number three, your ears. I can guarantee you that in times of inner trauma, you haven't even really listened to anyone during these times of fight and struggle. But you've definitely listened to your own nagging. I can see it now, your eardrums spinning round and pointing back inward like satellite dishes towards your mind. Because that's all you've been listening to, your deafening, nagging mind. Well, let's change that. Action plan number three to jump off the bogey train is start to listen to everything around you. Take in the plane above. Listen to the greenkeeping equipment churning away. Or someone could be talking to you, a bird tweeting. Don't discriminate. Take it all in and become aware. Switch on. Combining this sensory wake-up call with your eyes will definitely shift you into a different focus. Your focus light will broaden and widen its direction. It will expand and receive. This is what you need. Mind shift number four today focuses on the possibility and the reality that this could easily be a day when your swing feels really out of sorts. And any kind of feel is also non-existent. So action plan number three is to use what I call counter-rehearsal. Remember this mantra: what you practice, you will become. So, for example, if you have been thinning the ball and not really squeezing it into the turf, then make some practice swings where you take a divot, hit the turf, or at least brush the grass in your rehearsal, assimilating what you want to practice, which is the opposite of what has been driving you mad. Remember, you are not on the range. You just can't throw another ball down and hope that you stumble upon the fix. You have a small window of opportunity during a round of golf to find a physical trigger. Short game wise today, your situation could be that your ball has had no conviction running towards the hole. You have been pathetically dribbling the ball a foot short of the target for the first five holes. So don't keep trying to make the perfect stroke. What's the point? Your perfect stroke isn't working. Beef up the tempo, shorten the stroke, and rehearse conviction. Leaving wedges short? Well, I'll tell you what, go down a club and aim at the top of the flag. Been slicing it? Fix the face and sense and model what a draw would feel like. For the better player, if you have been blocking all day long, then counter-rehearse genuine fades. Corey Pavin, US Ryder Cup captain in 2010, made a career out of counter-rehearsals with his full practice swing. Be aware enough to recognize what feel is eluding you and then rehearse the opposite feel you need. Tune in to what you want that you don't possess now. That's number four, the 360 counter-rehearsal. Mind shift number five. As your focus light becomes narrow, laser-like and internal, your communication with others dims and dwindles. But have you ever taken notice of your attitude when things are going your way? Yeah, man. You talk about the dog. You throw jokes around like you're Robin Williams. You talk about the good old days when you had hair. You even say how much you're looking forward to the family vacation with the mother-in-law. Yep, you're the life of the party when things are going your way. But, when your golf is problematic, when you've become introspective, you better not talk with me because I'm analysing my problems. I'm talking to myself. This is a private and uptake debate, which I'm afraid you are not invited. Action plan number four is open up, guys. Talk to the caddy. Talk to the partners. Talk to the greenkeeper. It doesn't matter. Talk to yourself. Enter into some sort of dialogue that opens up the cargo hatches of your mind where the focus light can shine outward. Talk, talk, talk. So, when things are going wrong, you'll now be able to recognize what is happening with your focus. It's like a thing burning away at your mind, like this light, like a nagging laser. You will know exactly what your probable behavior patterns will be now. So use these five turnkey mind shifters to broaden your focus light and derail the bogey train. Let's look at the opposite situation which may arise today. What do you do when your round is going really well? You're three under par after four holes, or whatever your own great standard is. You're there. You're into an amazing start. So what is likely to upset this great play today? And what are the mind shifts you can employ to bring that great card back into the clubhouse? In reality, if your round gets off to a great start today and you find yourself going low early doors, the probability is that you've made some great putts, or somewhere along the line you've chipped in a couple of times. That's all. You didn't hole out any drives on any 440-yard par 4s, and you didn't hole in one on the first two par 3s either. So here comes your first message from me about going low early. Do not start to get pumped up on the tee boxes when you get a rush from a birdie run, okay? It didn't happen on the tee boxes in the first place. It happened around the greens. So watch your pace from the last green to the next tee. It's a classic sign that I've noticed golfers will virtually sprint to the next tee to sustain the birdie rush. Slow down, smell the flowers, and respect the next tee box you step onto. It's not a boxing ring, it's a tee box. So where does your focus light point during these times of heightened arousal and bravado? What error of focus direction occurs when what appears to be the best round of your life turns into a disappointing conclusion? Interestingly enough, in the previous case of things going wrong, your mind is anything but a vacant vacuum. It's consumed. I use the analogy of a prison cell in which your destructive and repetitive thoughts bang against the wall of your mind and dart from one corner to the next. So when things go wrong, your mind is a little dark room where golfing negatives are exposed by your narrow focus light. When things are going great, but are dangerously close to self-sabotage, your mind is most definitely vacant, or it's in the process of quickly packing its bags and vacating the premises of your brain. Here is your mind shift action plan when you get off to that dream start. Mind shift number one is realization. There is no question you are in a good place when you've got a good score on the card. But I don't want you to euphorically spiral out of control today, because believe it or not, it is possible to have too much flow and too much belief. And this is a classic great round killer. Let's call in an accurate analogy here. We have all seen the pilots who perform amazing maneuvers in those small stunt planes. Each move and sequence has been repeated and rehearsed and perfected to the point where any spectator watching can obviously see that both plane and pilot are at a spectacular breaking point. This is a critical moment because the guy flying the plane really has to pull himself in and have a trained discipline. A discipline that dampens and suffocates too much rush, excitement and ego. Because it's so easy, folks, when things are going well, to play act bigger than you can really act. You are that pilot today just because some holes have been maneuvered successfully. Don't push any harder because you are already there. You are at the precipice and the tipping point now. You either harness what you have or you endanger vital mind management. Don't try and go from super to superhuman, because being super is just fine. Number one is realization and awareness. Mind shift number two is your restraining bolt. What keeps you flowing but stops you overflowing? What can act as a slap in the face and a wake-up call that says, you need to calm down here, buddy? The answer is in your routine. Utopia in golf is when your feelings match your reality. Utopia, I've also said, is experienced in golf when you blend the feelings into your routine, because everything is syncing up and you find yourself in this time-feeling merger. So mind shifter number two, when you're off and running but you don't want to trip up, is to dive deeper and deeper into your process and routine, whatever it is, because it's working. And now is the time to immerse yourself fully into it. Enjoy the process of hitting shots today, because your process is no question dialed in and working for you. Mind shift number three, when excitement is waiting to scribble on your card, is to plan ahead. We covered this more extensively in my other audio experience, Front Loading the Mind, but I'll say it again. You cannot birdie every hole out there. Course designers have created holes that are simply good pars, but yet are commonly bogeyed. When you are buzzing like a dynamo, egoically, you believe that every hole is out there for the taking. So when you become aware that you have a good thing going on, pull out the scorecard and put a line through the holes that, at least yardage-wise, need some respect. Use the scorecard to plan and watch out for short par fours and threes. They are short for a reason, because they are normally risk-reward designs. Take a good look at the planner, because once again, the ego will look at these yardages that appear relatively benign and they will want to attack. 12th at Augusta National, 155 yards, never fails to appeal to the weak-minded professional on Sunday at the Masters. Mind shift number three, pick your battles. Don't have too much ambition here, guys. Just try to do good work. Mind shift number four. For years, we've been told to stay in the present, stay in the present, stay in the present. It's the most ambiguous term of instruction for me, and I don't agree with it. Yes, there are times in golf when you have to be aware of the here and now, especially during the shot selection process. But equally, actually more importantly, being able to recognize the past and what you plan to do in the future is what really counts in golf. If you do suffer from the good start dream, where the mind has you signing off on a 65 while standing 3 under on the fifth, you need to snap back into reality, your routine, or the present moment. Here's what you're going to do. When you arrive at the golf club, make your way to the pro shop or the secretary's office and borrow an elastic band. Make sure it's comfortable when you put it around your wrist. Because every time you catch yourself becoming result-orientated, which is actually what happens when you get off to a great start, pull and snap the rubber band against your wrist. Yes, it's going to hurt. Yes, it's going to sting, but it won't bite as much as the feeling of deflation through overexcitement. Mind shift number four, get the elastic band and snap yourself back to your current reality. Lastly, mind shift number five. Your adrenaline can do amazing things to your body. Originally created to give our systems an extra gear, adrenaline serves up a triple espresso in times of heightened arousal and excitement. So as you go under par today, at any point in your round, you could experience more and more aggression in your rhythm and in your pace of swing as the adrenaline surges through your veins. Mind shifter number five centers on you not straining your technique and asking too much of it. Don't start thrashing at the ball, attempting to hit it into 2 foot on every shot. Don't start manically thumping your driver, attempting to hit it further and further. So today, when you do sense that your speeds are increasing in tandem with your adrenaline and scorecard, here's what I want you to do. Number one, drop down a club. So from a 7 to an 8, from a 4 to a 5, factor in the extra speed your adrenaline will give your body. It's going to give it to you. Number 2, be more concerned about the quality of your motion and form rather than the quantities of yardage, distance and score. Keep that quality, quality, quality. And number 3, verbalize your rhythm, but with an extra emphasis on the word and. And is the change of direction, putter, driver, irons, 1 and 2, 1 and 2. This is your smooth change of direction and not the famous adrenaline snatcher. As you listen to this particular audio tool time and time again, I would encourage you to write down and laminate each of the 5 mind shifters and possibly keep them in your golf bag. Recognize now, even if you're driving to the golf course, where is your focus light? Have you been a little introverted this morning and busy with your thoughts ready to go into self-punish mode? Or are you the espresso adrenaline junkie ready to take on the world? Guide your focus light and mind shift if you need to. Good luck, mind shifters.